Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglio along with Charlie Long in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:40 for our Pick 6 segment. And before we talk any sports today, everyone here from WWL Radio, longtime guy that we've gotten to know throughout the years, and we want to send our thoughts and prayers out to the Frohmeyer family and also River Parish Disposal family on the passing of the Gator himself, Weldon Frohmeyer, passed away today. And so our thoughts and prayers are with the Frohmeyer family. You know, River Parish, I think, is one of the longest-running sponsors here on WWL. You remember him for so many years. He sponsored, you know, Buddy D and Sports Talk when Buddy was doing it years and years ago, and also certainly a big part of WWL Radio. So sad that his illness lasted a little while, and so, man, you always worry about that in life. And it put so much burden on the family. But, man, Weldon was a great guy, and so we give our thoughts and condolences to the Frohmeyer family and also for River Parish Disposal. Longtime clients here at WWL, and they've been great for the community and helping out in so many different ways. And a lot of times you don't hear about it or know about it, but behind the scenes, doing so many great things for our area. So, Weldon, thoughts and prayers with you, buddy, the original Gator himself. And so rest in peace, buddy. Charlie, today in some NFL news, I talked about this last night to Mike Haas in our segment for the Saints Coaches Show. I did two shows in Charlotte yesterday morning, and both of them indicated Deontay Johnson's time there was real short. He sort of took a jab at the Panthers organization, ownership, the whole shooting match. And so he got shipped off today. I didn't think he'd make the week. Well, he barely made the 24 hours, much less the week, and he got traded. And I think this is a pretty good landing spot for him. He goes to the Baltimore Ravens. Now, it's kind of a rental deal for a year because Deontay Johnson was in the final year of his contract. One of the reasons why the Steelers traded him off to Carolina. And the thought there was he could become the star receiver for Bryce Young, that would work. And it didn't really work out there. And matter of fact, Xavier Leggett has put up some pretty nice numbers the last couple of weeks there for him. So Deontay Johnson got traded along with a sixth-round pick. They did pick up the $3.8 million guaranteed part of his contract. And what they got in return? A fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
So, man, you talk about dimes on a dollar, that's it. But it's a one-year deal, and it's a rental. But for the Ravens, you take that chance. It's just like yesterday we spoke about with Josh Uche getting traded from New England to Kansas City. He's also on a one-year deal. So it's a rental, and see what happens here. But what, they gave up a six-round pick in 2025 or 2026, I think, for Josh, who's a pass rush guy. He had 11 and a half sacks 2 years ago.
It's not a seller's market.
No, I mean, you're not getting nothing back in return. So for folks, sell all the assets. Reminds me of people. I get calls pretty often about, give me a stock tip. Give me something I can invest on. And then they sell it after 6 months or a year. They make a little bit of money. And, man, you know, I got out. I made a little money. I got out. Then another year later, man, I wish I'd have held on to it. Okay, you kind of got pennies on a dollar or nickels on a dollar. Deontay Johnson goes to a team. Okay, look what's surrounding him with Zay Flowers, Derrick Henry, and Lamar Jackson.
Well, it kind of, from the Ravens' point of view, Mike, it kind of creates a three-headed monster, I guess, in the wide receiver room. Because Rashad Bateman's been good this year, too. Zay Flowers is the guy. He's their wide receiver
one. He's the man.
But now you add Deontay Johnson to it. It's kind of like a nice 1-2-3 punch. And that's in your receiving core. That doesn't include your
tight
ends of Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews. And then, obviously, Derrick Henry, who looks just ageless right now. So the Ravens are all in. They lost that game to, you know, Cleveland this past week. And I think that's an kind of abnormal. I think they'll be fine. As far as the Panthers, you're getting rid of your leading receiver on the year. Granted, Mike, we kind of called this a couple weeks ago when he was saying that he can't play every position on the field. I think that's what he said, right?
He said, after a loss, I cannot play every position out on the field. He's just like, okay, he wants help.
Yeah, he wants out. And so, you know, you move on from him for a fifth-round pick, but you also have to give up a sixth-round pick. They just basically dumped him off to Baltimore. Like, all right, you don't want to be here. We're moving on from you. You get to go play for a contender. And as you mentioned, it's a one-year kind of prove-it deal, I guess. He's going to be up for a contract after this season. We'll see what he accomplishes in Baltimore. He's still very, very solid. I remember when we were talking with Anish Roth, who watched him all throughout training camp, was just highlighted his route-running ability and, you know, how much of a pro he really is. Now, if you're looking at what the Panthers do now at their wide receiver weapon, Xavier Leggett's kind of the guy. Like, Adam Thielen's getting up there in age. We always talk about, like, the winter years. But I think they're bought into their first-round pick. And so, you know.
And he's caught on. You can see a little bit more confidence. The one thing in scouting Xavier Leggett, man, he loved running the deep routes. He loved to kind of hug the chalk on the deeper routes. He's gotten better coming into and out of his cuts and his breaks on the short intermediate stuff, because that's where I think he could be very, very dangerous, where you throw him a short pass, he makes one guy miss, and he's off to the races. He ain't no little small receiver either. I mean, he's pieced together.
No, he's built.
So you can see the passing of the torch here, and also the impatience of management now also, too. That okay, man. If he wants out that bad, send him off. I don't care what we get in return.
Because he wasn't. And you got to, I guess, look at it from that perspective as well. That yes, they did get dimes on the dollar for the player, but the player wasn't going to re-sign there.
He was
obviously clearly unhappy there. So, you know, I guess you get something for it. It looks like a bad trade for Carolina right now, but you do get a fifth round pick. It's like moving up from the sixth to the fifth.
And the one thing with the Ravens, they know how to draft. Man, you give it to them and the Chiefs the last 3 or 4 years. Look at draft choices. And I think that's what separates the good teams in this league from the people trying to get good, is that you got to draft well. You can't miss on pick after pick after pick. And that's what got the Texans in the spot that they in. Now, they got bad news today. Stephon Diggs, and man, I saw the injury. Non-contact. Stephon Diggs goes down with a torn ACL. He is lost for the season. Here's the crazy part about it. When he got traded from Buffalo to Houston, he asked the Texans to release him of the 3 remaining years of that contract. And the Texans did. They said, okay, in a prove-it type deal, we'll release you from the final 3 years, and then you become a free agent next year. Yeah. Man, look what happens to Diggs. Goes down to a season-ending ACL, and listen, sometimes you roll the dice, and sometimes you win, and sometimes you lose. And with Stephon, that's a big loss for them, especially with Nico Collins still – you know, nursing a hamstring injury.
These hamstring injuries, Mike, they're fickle.
And so now you wonder, do the Texans get in the market for a veteran kind of one-year Band-Aid guy again?
I would think so, because Tank Dell's been a little bit underwhelming this season for them. Now,
he's not a big guy either.
He's not at all. But, you know, Nico Collins should be back soon, you would hope, if you're a Texans fan, and he's been so outstanding this year, but you do need someone to kind of replace Stephon Diggs' role. So I could see them potentially getting involved and throwing their hat in the ring. This news coming out today, I mean, they might have been in the Deontay Johnson, you know, sweepstakes potentially.
Wouldn't have cost you nothing.
Yeah, obviously it didn't cost much for Baltimore, but I think they'll probably be looking into buying. That's a Texans team that's going to be competing in top of the AFC all season long. And then the last news as well, Mike, out of the AFC South, Anthony Richardson, who Bobby just lambasted yesterday. And listen,
Charlie, I couldn't wait to tell him, because I didn't know if he had heard the press conference, but when he came in, he looked at me, did you hear? And I said, I heard it. I heard it. I knew he would go berserk about that.
Yeah, and he wasn't necessarily wrong. A lot of folks in sports media were kind of dogpiling Anthony Richardson for the I'm tired comments. And, you know, who knows if that had anything to do with him getting benched.
I know
today.
It did.
Yeah, exactly. We can read between the tea leaves, Mike, but, you know, we'll have to. I think performance also played a little bit of an impact in it, because, I mean, people.
He's inaccurate.
Mike, he was 2 for 15 in the first half last week against Houston.
You know, one of the things when we were doing the talent evaluations, man, he came to the Manning Passing Academy. Charlie, I showed you the pictures of him throwing a football and doing the tumble set up in the air and all. He was an unbelievable athlete. Here's my deal with him. He was not a very accurate quarterback at Florida. What made you all of a sudden think that, you know, somebody could lay their hands on him and he would be an accurate quarterback? It wasn't going to happen. And he loves to run the football. And in this league, man, you're going to get hurt a lot. I'm talking about getting hurt, because they don't just want to bang you up a little bit. No, they want to hurt you.
So all the reports were that it came from the coaching staff. And this is what I would say. I mean, if you're talking about volatility, that's Anthony Richardson to a T. He'll throw a 70-yard bomb, and then he'll miss five of his next six passes and throw an interception in there too. So he's just not the consistent guy. And when you have a good roster around him, right? Like, you're looking at the Colts roster. Yes, they have some holes, especially on, you know, the defensive backfield, but they have some solid players. They just need a more steady hand, and I think that's what Joe Flacco provides.
Look what he did with the Browns last
year.
Man, he calmed everybody's nerves, and he got them into the playoffs. Also today, the Saints came to terms with a veteran cornerback, Trey Herndon, who was he was a free agent pickup, I want to say in 2018, out of Vanderbilt. I remember scouting him for the 2018 draft, and man, he's played a ton of games, 34 starts for the Jaguars in that time frame. He was signed along with Jordan Mims to the practice squad, and they terminated the practice squad contract of former Tulane center Sinceri Haynesworth. So we'll have that a lot more Tulane Tuesday coming up next for you here on the Big 870. WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio, and it's Tulane Tuesday, so we'll go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, and Tulane Tuesday is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com, and on the line we have with us the head football coach of the Green Wave, John Sumrall. John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Coach, I know it's a short week, so I really appreciate you breaking down some time with us. And I laughed. We do a pregame on Saturday for LSU, and when the final score came in, man, I know why this cat always texts me about, man, ask Coach Sumrall about this and that. I think he got a little bit of maybe a drink or something on the line with it. When North Texas scored that last touchdown, it got him the over. And we didn't think this would be a 2024 game anyway. But, man, that was a wild shootout against North Texas.
Man, it was a shootout for sure. We were able to build a pretty good lead, you know, a three-score lead there. But their offense is explosive, man. Chandler Morris, the quarterback, is Chad Morris's son. Really good football player, quarterback. And they got a little receiver named D.T. Sheffield, this kid number 10.
And he's good,
isn't
he?
A handful.
Man.
Yeah. He can he's as quick as a cat, man. So he's hard to stop. And so those guys fought back and made it interesting there in the end. We had to recover an onside kick. Actually, had to recover two of them to close the game out, and able to finish the game, get the win on the road, which winning in conference on the road is always a big deal. And now we got to go back and do it in a couple more days here. Quick turnaround, back-to-back road games. That's not very normal in these short weeks. Usually they give you one home game. We got two road games. And so we got to be ready to go play again on Thursday night.
Coach, one of the things in a short week, and I'll ask you about that a little bit later, but you know, I see the emergence along your defensive front of Parker Peterson. And that's a guy, you know, even a lot of Tulane fans, they didn't know a lot about, so to speak. And he has really stepped up his play over the past few weeks.
Yeah, he has. You know, he's a young man from Father Ryan High School up in Tennessee. Was a high school wrestler. And he was one of our game captains last week. He's been playing at a really high level, affecting the game positively all year, and really just stepped up big time and plays with an energy and an edge and a chip on his shoulder that's fun to watch.
Coach, one of the things when you have a short week like this, kind of what's your schedule like? Because we see it in the NFL. They play on a Sunday and then bang, you go again Thursday. You play on a Saturday. What's the schedule like for the young men to get ready for a Thursday game? And it'll be this Thursday when you play University of Charlotte.
Yeah, fortunately, the last 2 years at Troy, we played two Thursday games after a Saturday game. So the schedule we've kind of gotten developed, I really like. So what we did Sunday, they came in. We just did a little light walkthrough on Sunday. Yesterday was really our most significant physical practice of the week, where we did about an hour in shoulder pads and then about a 30-minute period in helmets. And then today was a total walkthrough. And then tomorrow will be a run-through. So Sunday was kind of like a Monday for us. Yesterday, Monday was like a Tuesday and a Wednesday combined. And then today is Thursday, tomorrow is Friday, and the next day, which we play on Thursday night, is a Saturday in our world. And so we're not on a Thursday schedule today now. And so that's what we're doing. And, you know, you have to be smart about getting enough physical work to be ready, but you got the freshest, fastest team, you know, is what you want to be on Thursday night. And then from a schematic standpoint, the coaches work, you know, really gets crunched into not a whole lot of sleep going on around the office. And what you're trying to do, honestly, with putting a game plan together is you want to play songs the players already know the words to, if you catch my drift.
I ain't trying to
do a whole lot of new install. We're trying to play songs they already know the words to and they can sing without having to think too much. So go back to what we're really good at and what we feel comfortable with our players.
Coach O, I got asked to ask you this, so I'm going to bring it to you. I've got coaches in my family, and they've told me this. You win a big game on the road, okay, and you're excited, and you have not left the playing field, and you're thinking about the next game. What's your thought process about that? Because I've heard it from so many people. Okay, man, you want to celebrate a little bit. You want to feel good for the young men because they've worked so hard all week, and your coaches and the staff has worked so hard. But your mind is, man, I'm worried about the next opponent. We took care of these guys. I'm worried about what's going to happen next week. And so you go through that also, and kind of explain that to the average fan. It's not a big celebration because your mind, once you left that field or even on the field at North Texas, all the way shifted to Charlotte.
Yeah, especially on a short week. You know, on a normal 7-game schedule week, you take 24 hours, you really enjoy the win. Well, we got off the field, we boarded the plane in Dallas, and then I, real quick on my iPad, watched the game that we had just played just to make sure we had all our notes down on things we had to clean up and corrections from the game. And then we landed and started watching the next game, you know, the next team. And so really didn't take a whole lot of time to celebrate other than in the locker room. You know, we celebrated in the locker room, did that quickly, and we moved about our business. And so to get ready for this one, and we showed up in our team meet on Sunday afternoon. I said, hey, that game's gone. Like, I don't want to hear about North Texas. I don't want anybody talking about it. It's over. We got the next one right here in front of us. Let's get ready. You know, and so you have to move on quickly, for sure.
We could talk about this guy every week, but, man, what Mekhi Hughes brings to the lineup is, Coach, he's amazing. You can hang your hat with that one guy. And, I mean, the offensive line has done a great job of giving him some opportunities once he gets to the line of scrimmage to break free. But, man, you talk about, you know, if you look up in the dictionary, I don't know too many people use that dictionary today, but if you looked it up, workhorse, you'd have Mekhi's picture in there.
Ain't no doubt about it. He's a lunch pail guy, man. He brings it, very consistent. He's a hard guy to tackle. He plays the game with physicality, a no-nonsense running back. It's better with the game as it goes, the more carries he gets. Just the way he plays the game, man, really, it impacts our whole team just in regards to our physicality and our toughness because, you know, he's one of the most physical running backs in our conference, if not the most. And so he's a dude, man. He shows up and brings it each and every week.
Coach, you kind of talked a little bit about the challenges of this short week, especially back-to-back road games where you don't even get a home game at Yeoman Stadium thrown in there. But looking ahead to Charlotte, a team that's 3-5 overall and 2-2 in conference play, what have you seen so far from them?
Well, I see a team that's really trending in the right direction, to be honest with you. Early in the year, they had a couple guys that were out, unavailable for a couple different reasons. One of them was academics. Another guy or two, I think, was injured. Maybe another guy or two was suspended. And they've really gotten all their pieces back on the field. You know, they scored a bunch of points and blew out East Carolina. The Navy game got out of hand because they had too many turnovers. They turned the ball over five times. And then they go play Memphis this past week at Memphis, Memphis's homecoming game, and really should have won the game probably in a lot of ways. They played really, really good football and took it down to the wire. And this team, I think, is ascending with the way they're playing throughout the year. I watched the video, and I don't see a team that I would say their record's 3-5 and 2-2. I'll see a team, and I'm like, all right, this team could win any game they play. And so I think our guys understand the challenge at hand. These guys have a ton of Power 4 transfers, probably the most in our league, if I had to guess, just looking at their roster. And so we've got to be aware of the threat that lies ahead. Is these guys are talented, man. They're big, they're athletic, they're physical, they play the game the right way. I have a ton of respect for the players and the coaches they got and how they play in the game. And I think they're really a quality team for sure.
One of the things when you have a short week like that, you're always worried about maybe an injury. It's always sort of in the back of your mind that you know, a lot of guys today, I'll play through it. I'm going, coach. I'm not missing no time. I want to play in that game. And you love to hear that today. But from an injury standpoint, how are you kind of holding up? Because everybody's banged up this time of year. Nobody's healthy. Injury-wise, you look to be pretty good, and getting back Alex Bowman certainly is a big plus to your football team.
Yeah, Alex played last week. Caleb Ransom was back last week. You know, Pat Jenkins missed last week. His mother passed. I don't know if you guys got that news or not,
sure,
but Patrick Jenkins' mama passed last Sunday night, a week ago. So Patrick didn't make the trip to North Texas. He's back with the team. He's practiced all week. And so the health, though, the guys are fairly healthy. I mean, like you said, bumps and bruises. It's a physical game. We got some guys that aren't at 100%, but everybody does. And there might be a guy or two not available Thursday night. We're not sure yet, but for the most part, we're pretty intact.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us on a short week, taking some time to talk to us here. And best of luck Thursday night against Charlotte. Oh, we lost him. Thank you, Coach. We appreciate it. And that was our interview with Tulane head football coach John Sumrall. Tulane Tuesday is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. Want to thank Coach. A short week playing Thursday night, and so to come on with us and share a few minutes, we certainly appreciate it. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. And Charlie, we got a texter. He said, man, y'all don't give no love to the Raging Cajuns. You not listening. You got the biggest Raging Cajuns fan in the world.
What are we talking about?
We talk about all the time. So, no, you can't come with that. You're not listening all the time, because I know my boy Charlie waved the flag for the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, and then Coach Sumrall kind of tore it down a little bit there a couple weeks back, Mike. But no, I mean, of course.
I told him, listen, you got to win it for me, because I wouldn't hear the end of it.
Yeah. I will say on that
return,
told
me, Mike, I came through for you.
The knee was down on the kickoff return, Mike. I'm not going to give that one up. But no, the Raging Cajuns, to this Texas point, having an awesome year with Coach Dez.
Man, Dez is doing a great job.
They're playing fantastic football right now. And they have an upcoming matchup on a short week. Well, they technically had the bye, I guess, this past week, a mini bye, right? With this matchup against Texas State. And Mike, this one kind of surprised me a little bit when I looked at the line and stuff like that. Texas State, a lot of folks that kind of preseason picked to win the Sun Belt.
Yep.
But UL's in the driver's seat right now to win the Sun Belt West and make it to the Sun Belt Championship game. Now, you know, the game last week, or I guess this is now, you know, it's so weird because they didn't play this past weekend. So the weekend before, when they played Coastal, that Coastal Carolina game, I don't want to say it exercised a lot of demons for a lot of Raging Cajun fans, but it was nice to beat down the Sea Chickens. I'll just say that much. So now you're looking ahead to this Texas State matchup. I don't think Texas State has ever beat UL in their history, and they're 3.5-point favorites against the Cajuns at home.
Okay, that's reputation.
It is. No, I agree 100%.
It's reputation.
Because if you see what's happened on the field, Texas State's 4-3 this year. They've been fine, but they haven't lived up to expectations.
You know what they are? They're a stock market team.
Yeah.
1 week up, 1 week down. One week up, 1 week down.
So both teams, if you want a quick preview on this matchup, because I can give it to you, both teams are great running the football, great rushing attacks. I think they're both in the top 40 in the country in rushing offense. But the difference is the Raging Cajuns have a quarterback that's been performing pretty well, Mike, and it's someone that you're familiar with in Ben Woolridge.
Ben is a guy. He was my first interview at Manning Passing Academy when they broke us to, okay, you can interview the guys. Ben was sitting right there where I got up, and so I got my cameraman to interview Ben, and he was excited. He really felt this was a year that they could be a double-digit winning team. And he basically said that on the interview. I think we can get to 10 wins this year with the Raging Cajuns. Charlie, he maybe got something there. Maybe got something there.
Yeah, so if you're looking ahead at the Cajun schedule, they have Arkansas State still after this Texas State game, and then South Al, Troy, and then they wrap up the season against a ULM team that's been pretty surprising. But
has been surprising.
Yes, they've been playing well. But if you're looking at the Sun Belt West, right now the Cajuns are 3-0 in conference play. If they boost up to 4-0, they have a bunch of teams that are still trailing them, right? Like the Arkansas State, South Alabama, ULM, Texas State, they all have one loss. And then Southern Miss and Troy are at the bottom of the conference. Sorry there, Jimmy. You know, Cajuns already
Jimmy knew they were bad.
Yeah, Cajuns already took care of business against Southern Miss earlier this year. It feels like the West is a little bit more top-heavy than the East this year. The East is kind of more middle of the pack, I guess you would say. But the Cajuns kind of control their own destiny in the Sun Belt West, if you're looking at their upcoming slate. And that all starts in, you know, against this Texas State team on the road with a huge matchup coming up tonight.
Yeah, I agree. Charlie, one of the things Bob and I talked about in last night and leading up to the coaches show was we were looking at young players on this Saints football team. We said 27, but we had to add one to make it to 28. And so the question became, there are no great players on this team today, on the Saints team. And Dennis Allen, when Bob posed it to him, said that. We don't have great players. We got some good players.
There was a really roundabout answer, though, Mike, where he kind of started off and he said, yeah, I don't think we have any great young players on this team. But then he kind of, I don't want to say backtracked. He kind of rolled back over and said, but I think you can win with a lot of really good players. Or something like, he said something along those lines. Yeah. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, and so Bob and I came up with this, and we talked about it, and I got his opinion. Also got an opinion of an NFL scout and a NFL director of player personnel, guys. So, Charlie, I'll get you this interview and get you involved here with which guys, and there are eight of them, eight young players, well, I say young, from 28 years of age and younger, could they start on every team? Could they start on some teams? Or are they just a good player? Right off the bat, Eric McCoy, it was check mark. He could start for any team in the NFL at either center or guard.
Yeah, if he's not the center, because there's only a few centers you take over McCoy, then, you mentioned, Mike, he'll play at guard.
Yeah, and so Bob and I sort of did, he thinks he's an elite one. I think, you know, Frank Ragnow, Creed Humphrey from Kansas City. Tyler Lindenbaum, I think, is one of the best unknown centers in the NFL.
Right.
But I think McCoy's right there with those other three. So McCoy got the check mark from the NFL scout, myself, also NFL director of player personnel, could start for anybody at either center or guard. The next guy, you may have to break this, is Taliese Fuaga. And here's the question. Could he start on every team? Could he start on some teams, or is he just a good player?
So,
as you're looking into the telescope now with Fuaga,
if you listen to what Coach Allen said at the end of it, where he was talking about the rookies and second-year players, he's just like, we're still figuring out, right? Taliese Fuaga has a huge ceiling, right? I think he can be a great player in the NFL. As of now, he's still a rookie. I mean, he's just played eight games so far, so give him some time.
Okay. Can he start on every team at either right or left tackle or right guard? For any team at one of those three positions, guard or right tackle, left tackle?
I would say yes, because I think that he can play guard. Now, he's only played right tackle throughout his entire collegiate career. He comes to the NFL, they put him at left tackle. And he's shown that he can play left tackle at a pretty solid level.
Okay, so you broke it up. Bobby thinks he could start on some teams, not every team. The NFL scout I spoke to said some teams. The NFL director of player personnel guy agreed with me that he could start for any team at one of the positions.
I would agree.
And so you break the deal there. Chris Olave, is he a starter for every team in the NFL? Or is he for some teams? Now, here's the thing to remember. Rarely do teams play a fullback. So you got three starting receivers.
Correct. So I would say yes.
Yeah. And so that was check.
Even when you think of like the top, you know, receiving cores where you have like a duo, right, of top receivers, I think Olave can potentially slot in as a third guy in some different offenses.
Yeah. And so all of us agree on that. The other guy, too, that got the check mark all across the board, he's 28 years old. He's had injuries, and, you know, okay, he's a different cat out there, okay? He trains his own way, does things his own way. Marshawn Lattimore, start on every team in the NFL.
Yep, I agree.
And this is where it gets a little tricky. Carl Granderson at defensive end, does he start on every team, some teams, just a starter?
I would say some teams. I don't think every team. Carl Granderson has shown flashes where you would say, oh, yeah, this dude's a starter on every team. But it's not really consistent, in my opinion, Mike. Like, he has these games where he'll just pop off, but then other games where he's a little quiet. And I love Carl Granderson. I think it was money well spent by the Saints front office when they extended him, what was it, before last year? And he's rewarded them with really solid play. He's probably the best-performing defensive lineman on this team.
No question about
that. But if you're looking at, you know, some of the defensive lines around the NFL, like, Mike, I don't think he starts for Pittsburgh. Right? Like, there's some teams where you can say, yeah, maybe Carl Granderson's a player, but I'm not sure if he would be a starter.
Okay, you, me, and Bobby all agree. Some teams.
Yes.
On some teams. The NFL director of player personnel and the scout, they both said he starts for every team in the NFL.
Okay.
So you broke the tie there, so to speak, on how we look at things.
Here, Mike.
But it was funny that, you know, we see him, you know, we cover him, and that I do think he could start for some teams and certainly be a big-time role player. But I don't know about every team. And yet a director of NFL player personnel and
said
a scout said every team.
And I guess that's fair. Like, if you're looking at grading out defensive linemen, he's up there. Carl Granderson's had a really strong year, and he's shown flashes, like I mentioned. It's just, I'm not sure. There's some really good D-lines around the NFL, Mike. So, but, I mean, if he slots into every single team, I think he's obviously a helpful piece, right? So, I could see that.
Yeah, and he's 27, along with McCoy. Lattimore's 28. The thing about Lattimore, who knows if he's going to be here next year or not, Fuaga is 22 years old, Chris Olave, 24 years old. All good players to very good players, but again, not that great player. And Coach Allen, I think, said the truth the first time and then sort of backtracked it around. Charlie, we'll go to break, and when we come back at the 5:10 break, we'll talk about three more players that Bob and I kind of picked out of, could he be a starter for every team? Some teams, just a regular starter. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of sports talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. We'll have a lot more Saints talk along with, at 5:20, Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Our Odyssey NFL insider will join us to talk Saints NFL. Want to tell everybody at 6:20 tonight, Ali Cosell covering the NBA and the Pelicans will be on with Steve, and now the Saints Hour with Mike Hoss, Executive Vice President, General Manager Mickey Loomis, and then first show of the season, Pelicans Weekly at 8 o'clock. Pre-game for the Pelicans Golden State at 8:30. Tip-off at 9 o'clock right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this news break.